We are studying Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter on faith, here on the Radio Bible Course. We invite you to open your Bibles to chapter 11, verse 32. The writer has been talking about how the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea by faith, about how Moses had faith and led the people, and about Rahab, who had faith in that city of Jericho. And in verse 32, he continues, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had foreseen something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." Well, the people mentioned here all trusted in God, but they were tortured, endured tribulation, and they were tested in their faith. But they were able to be faithful because of what is written in verse 40. God had foreseen something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. There is something better than this life. Now, what God had for them and for us is not on the earth. That was seen clearly at the beginning of this chapter when it talked about Abraham in verse 8. He obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was to go. And he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, for he looked forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The object of Abraham's faith was to be with God and to be where that city is which God is building. It's not on the earth. Now, we misinterpret faith. We want victories here, and we want them now. We want healing, and we want to be blessed materially. But those men who are mentioned, men and women, in Hebrews chapter 11, were victorious spiritually. They overcame the world, and they were content with the promise of a heavenly home. Now, we are of the opinion that strong faith means being blessed in our business, our health, and our families. There is no promise to the Christian for such things. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, it's obvious from the context of Hebrews chapter 11 that God did give deliverance. Physical and material blessing came into them. But these things have not been promised to the Christian. The book of Acts, which records the activities of the apostles and the early church in the first century, does tell us about some amazing victories and miracles. But these are not the result of promises. God does what he wants to do. But we as Christians should not be expecting God to perform miracles or to bless us materially. Jesus instead said in John chapter 15 that the life of the believer would not be a bed of roses. He said, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And in chapter 16, he said, they will make you outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. If we would more carefully study the lives of the apostles, we would have learned that material blessing is not in store for the believer. The Apostle Paul certainly understood this, and he learned it. And he taught the Christians at Philippi about it. He said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe in his name, but also to suffer for his sake. Following Jesus does not result in a rose garden. Friends, the roses are in heaven. Now I hope you have not believed in order to have a better life down here. When we promise material blessings and a good life down here, we are not in agreement with God. The Christian's blessings are spiritual. Believers in Christ for centuries have suffered for their faith. And some countries, such as Iran and Russia, have not been kind to believers. Our Lord promised us joy, but not happiness. Your dead won't be raised, your sick may not be healed, and you may lose your job because of your faith. Physical blessings should not be the objective of faith. Although our loved ones die, death is not defeat, because we have a promise. The promise concerning the dead is the resurrection. All die as Adam's children, and that's God's plan. But so is the resurrection for believers. We are grateful for every person who was miraculously delivered, but far more people lost their lives than were rescued. A few escaped the sword, but many died. Now you and I look for deliverance. We want to escape death. Is death a bad experience for believers who long for eternity? Paul the Apostle didn't believe it was. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said that he had a problem. He didn't know whether he wanted to stay here or go to be with the Lord. Now death to him was not a fearful experience. He knew there was life after death. Now I suggest that we not test God by doing some foolish thing. Don't try the lion's den. You don't have a promise of deliverance. Daniel's story is an exception. Thousands of Christians died in the arenas of Rome, eaten by lions. Now, presumption is not faith. Some people say that if you had strong faith, your child would have been healed. But the Bible doesn't say that. Faith is not hoping for prosperity and for physical benefits. Faith is God-centered regardless of what we get or what we lose. It may cost much. It may cost you a job, a promotion, respect, or death. Prosperity is not the victory, nor is deliverance from the woes of this life. Faith is the victory. If a son dies in battle, did the mother have no faith? Did she fail to pray? Friends, wars always take lives, and a mother's faith must lie in the next life for a son who is killed. Now let's look at verse 32. He says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets." The words "fail me" is a participle, and it's masculine. And this is the strongest evidence of male authorship of the book of Hebrews, but it's not conclusive if this is a general use of the gender. The first person discussed in verse 32 is Gideon. His life is recorded in chapter 6 of the book of Judges. And because some of you may not be familiar with Gideon, I want to read the first 6 verses. Says again, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help." Well, that's where Gideon comes in. And the story begins with verse 11. Concerning him, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah." That's where Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon replied, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." I suppose Gideon was like many people today, who ask, "Why don't we have signs and miracles today?" Would you believe if you saw a sign? Gideon saw a sign, but it didn't help him, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. How much do you know about the Bible? The Bible is the only book about God and the only book from God. The Bible is all of God's revelation through all the ages of human history. But most people don't know these facts: that the Bible is a book of 2 religious leaders, Moses and Jesus, 2 religions, Judaism and Christianity, 2 kinds of people, Jews and Christians, 2 resurrections, for the good and for the evil, 2 gospels, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace, 2 kingdoms, one political and on the earth and the other spiritual, 2 standards of living, law and grace. These are just some of the topics discussed in our tape course called Understanding the New Testament. It'll revolutionize your thinking about the Bible. Write today to ask for tape information. Till tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you to rejoice in the good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.